present hope. It's who you are, Jesus. Just take a moment. If there's an area of your life where you're like, man, I just don't have a lot of hope in this area. We had prayed earlier, and I didn't realize I wasn't here for the run through this morning, the full run through. I didn't realize how hope would be such a key thing today. Today, I just feel like the Lord just wants to offer himself as your hope in any circumstance. So just right now, just wherever you are lacking a hope, lacking a vision for the future, lacking motivation to take the next step with the Lord, just tell him the truth just right now. Just say, Lord, I know you're the God of hope, and I know that, and we're singing the song, but I don't have a lot of hope. Just be honest with him, and then just say, would you, God of hope, would you fill me with hope? Holy Spirit, we ask that you would fill us with hope, that you would help us to see our circumstances, our situations, even the darkness as an opportunity for you to step in. And we thank you that there's no hopelessness in you. And we thank you that when we see from your perspective, that hope rises. Let's bless this church family, those that are joining us online, those that are visiting us from all over the place, Lord, that we would be a people that are reminded of the hope we have, the living hope that we have in Christ. Thank you for inviting us to the table today. Thank you for allowing us to have community where we can raise one voice of gratitude and thanksgiving and joy in your presence, stirring up faith in one another so that we can walk out love and good deeds. We bless you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for making a way to the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for empowering us to walk the way of Jesus so that we can be about the Father's work. We ask this in the powerful, powerful name of the Son who was slain and rose again. Amen. 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 As you're sitting down, say hello to the person on your left or right. Tell them we're having church today. You are in the right place. Come on, can we honor our team up here for leading us today? Wasn't that beautiful today? Oh my goodness. So grateful for each and every one of them. Oh man, if you are a guest, welcome. We love the presence of God. We love praying, we love singing, we love community. Man. Yeah, welcome. So I want to start out by just giving you something I'm super excited about. You've heard us talk about this before. We are hosting, I believe it's our first, I could be wrong, first to my knowledge, a conference here that we're doing in-house, and it's called Kingdom Collaboration Conference. I think we have a slide here. Yes, Kingdom, it's about the space theme is actually what it's about. There we go, awesome, there we go. Kingdom Collaboration, those guys up there are amazing. September 8th, 9th, and 10th. So I want to take just a few minutes to unpack this because it's really important. This is something we've been praying about, dreaming about, and it's for you, along with people from all over the country and probably even the world. You know, one of the things I don't like about conferences in general, especially Christian conferences, is that it's nonstop, like you have a fire hydrant and it's just nonstop hitting you with so much information. At the end of it, you're like, that was amazing, but I don't remember anything. Like, what am I supposed to do with this? And so this conference, we're trying to rethink it and reconsider what could a conference be. And so it's really the way, I haven't told this to my staff, and they may say never say that again, but it's like if a conference and a retreat had a baby. That's kind of what we're wanting to have here. Is that kind of weird? Yeah. So there's going to be incredible truth shared and communicated, but our heart is that it wouldn't just be, speakers that we have in here, like friends from Upper Room Dallas, Michael Miller, pastor's there, good friend of mine. He's going to be here. David Wagner, we love him. Winship's going to share. I'm going to share. We're going to have some different things. So, like, there's going to be great truth, but our hope is that you don't walk away saying, wow, that speaker was amazing. But that as we communicate the truth that God has laid in our heart, that you would say, wow, I heard from the Lord myself. And so our plan is to structure this gathering where it's not just you sitting your rear ends in a seat the entire time, but to actually have time to process and for you to engage with the Lord. And so we're actually doing some things on our property. We have a beautiful over 100 acres here that is such a gift to this community. And so we've been working on it. We've been preparing it so that people can connect with God and nature. How many of you like God connecting with God and nature, right? Like, I wanna see our beautiful campus here be a place where people encounter God, not just in this room. Can somebody say amen to that? And so this conference is gonna give place and space for people to encounter God, not just from a worship team or a speaker, but to hear from God, to take a deep breath, to take a walk, to sit down, to hear the birds, to see beautiful trees flowing in the wind. And so it's really not just a conference, but it's really a time to take a deep breath with the Lord. And the hope of this conference, the reason why we called it Kingdom Collaboration, is because what we believe is that God does invite humanity to bring about his rule and reign. That the invitation always is God has this desire to see his kingdom, his rule and reign, his way of doing things on the earth as it is in what? Heaven. But the way that he does that is by collaborating with humanity, with men and women that say yes, old and young that say yes, I want to partner with you, God. And so our heart in this conference is, how's it look for you as somebody who's not going to likely be a full-time vocational minister? This is my calling, not your calling. But how can I be one of the ones that equip and empower? How can we be a church that equips you, empowers you, wherever you are, whether you're a real estate agent, whether you're a teacher going back to school, whether you're a coach, whether you're a businessman, or whether you're unemployed, whether you're a how does it look for you to collaborate with God in wherever sphere he's put you? That's what I care about. And I believe actually that's what we see in this book. And so this is what these couple days are about. And so I want to encourage you to check out kingdomcollaboration.com, or you can just go to our website. I think it's on our app too. It's on there. I would love for you to read about it. I'd love you to do a couple things. Number one, pray. That God would encounter all those that gather in a way that marks them, and not just something where they look and say, that happened there, but they actually take, taste, and go wherever they go. All right, can we join praying with, can y'all pray with me, church family, that God encounters us as we gather? Number two, I do want you to register. This is a conference. We already have people that have registered from 12 different states, from West Coast to East Coast, all across the board, already 12 states. I believe that's gonna go up significantly. But my heart is that we would see hundreds of Christ Fellowship people here, because I don't want just to serve other people all over the nation or nations. I want you guys to taste and experience what God's gonna do in these couple days. Because what I know is that it's not the conference that's special and somehow, you know, something wild's gonna happen. What I know is that oftentimes when we have a gathering like this, it's hungry people that come out. And guess what I know God loves to do? He loves to feed the hungry. And so if you're hungry, I'm telling you, man, figure out a way to join us. And then I would encourage you too, if you have a friend that's like, man, I want more of God. Like, I want to learn what's it look like not to just go through the motions and just have my quiet time, but I actually want to see my workplace transformed. I want to see my home and my family transformed. I want to see my classroom or my school or my business. I want to see it transformed to be everything that God wants it to be. Then I would encourage you to send them a note and invite them as well, because I believe God's going to do something special and unique in our gathering. As you see, it's a Thursday night, Friday, Saturday. And some people have already asked me, hey, I've got to work Friday. And we totally understand that. Not all of us can take off certain days of the week. And so here's the thing. If you sign up, we're not going to be there checking off if you come. It's not a nod to your nice list, right? Come when you can. Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, it's going to be most of the day. And so I think even if you have to miss a session or two on maybe Friday, or maybe one of the evenings you have to miss, there may be a football game on Thursday night, but don't look too closely at that before you register. Tennessee, sorry. There's always a replay. You can watch it. You know where the outcome's going to be anyhow. Wait, are they playing a Division I school that night? No, just joking. Anyhow, just joking. But seriously, like, I'm telling you as your pastor, like, this is going to be a way for our church to pour into you, for you to experience God in maybe a different way than we can on a Sunday morning. And then our hope isn't just to say, you know, Christ Fellowship promotion. That's not it at all. It's how do we see men and women from all over the country and maybe even the world come gather, encounter God, hear his voice, and then go and live that out wherever they go. Can we get behind that vision? Like, that's what we want for that. And so check out Kingdom Collaboration. www.thebridgechurch.com and register, invite somebody, and join us in praying. It's about a month away, and so I cannot wait for it. Today, though, specifically, wow, that clock went up very fast. Let's see here. We're going to go after abundance. I don't have an abundant amount of time, but we are going to go after abundance. We talked about this last week, abundant mindset. I would encourage you, if you missed last week, if you're joining us online, you can go to YouTube, you can go to our podcast. I would go back and I would listen to it. It's really a foundational message. And really everything we're going to talk about today and tomorrow is a building block off the foundation of how we see the world. Jesus said that if you have a good eye, if you have an abundant eye, if you see the world with abundance, then there will be light in you. But he says if you have a bad eye or a scarcity view of the world, then there's going to be darkness, and that darkness is going to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And so we as a people that are redeemed, as a people who have a living hope, we want to see the world as God does, not through the world's eyes. And so we got to have an abundance mindset. But what do we think about abundance? When I say that word, we probably have a lot of different pictures. As I said that, do you guys remember the word, the show DuckTales? Remember that? DuckTales? Anybody remember DuckTales? Super random, not in my notes. Does anybody remember? Am I weird up here? Yeah, if you have kids, you know, or if you were a kid of the 80s, DuckTales, and what did that guy do? He swam in all that gold, those gold coins and everything as it became, yeah. So sometimes we think that's abundance. So today I want to talk about how we perceive abundance. Matthew 6:24 is where I'm going to start, but I would love for you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. That's the primary text for the day. Jesus is speaking this in Matthew 6. This is actually the third part of what I talked about last week. He says at the end of this section of his message, he says, "No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." You cannot serve God, and that word in the Greek is possessions, are things that we have. So Jesus is making a really clear point here, and I think Jesus takes the time of all the things that he talks about money actually a decent amount, and the reason why he does that is he knows our propensity to look to money or our things to replace what God alone can do. Now, God, what does God do? He gives us purpose. He gives us identity. He's the only one that can tell you who you are. Nobody else can. There's no self-help book. There's no, you know, inner dialogue. No, only God can tell you who you are. He made you. He can give us identity. And it's God that speaks in a way that brings me to life. And what happens here, he says that you can't serve God, the God that speaks purpose, identity, security, life, and what? We already don't want to say it because we're in church. We're like, don't talk about money in church. Yeah, we're talking about money today. You can't serve God and what? Money, our possessions. What I want you to see here as we see this passage is that money is a cruel master, but a great servant. This is going to be the theme of the entire day. Money is a cruel, 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 cruel master, but it can be an amazing servant. Somebody say amen to that, right? Like if we try to put money as the place of God and we look for money for our security, we look for money for our purpose and our identity, what we find out time and time again, no matter how much money we have, it just seems like it goes through our hands. It's like, I don't have enough, and so then I got to get more, and I got the scarcity mentality. And so money makes a really, really poor master or God. And Jesus knows our bents, and he knows that, man, there's times where we'll try to lean into something other than him for these things. And so he says very clearly, listen, guys, money is not the answer. And if you're going to pursue that, you actually aren't going to be able to be devoted to me. And so be careful what your priority is. You can't serve God and money. And what we find, and I did a bunch of case studies. I'm not going to go through them for time today. But what you actually find is that actually after you hit a certain amount of income, you know, your problems don't necessarily get better. Like statistics, like Purdue University did a statistic, like they actually had a sweet spot of a number that if a family made this much was like their optimal place of like enjoyment. But actually before that and after that, the decline was the same on both sides. Isn't that interesting? Or we just think about America. We're one of the wealthiest nations on the earth. I love our country. I'm so grateful that we get to be part of this nation. We get to gather in freedom. Anybody else grateful for our nation? Like, I'm so grateful. But in our abundance, which I would say we're a pretty abundant nation, we are actually at the top of depression and suicide among all nations. We shouldn't miss that correlation, right? We've got abundance. We got, like, everything. You go to the store, like, got tons of the world wealth, and even our poor are more wealthy than many people around the world, and yet for whatever reason, like, we haven't arrived, we haven't found the thing that we're looking for. Why is that? Because money makes a cruel master, but as we're going to see today, it makes a really, really great servant. Now, the scriptures are filled with amazing truths about money. In 1 Timothy, I want to read you what Paul says. He's addressing this group, and I'm going to pick up in chapter 6, verse 6 through 10. Some incredible truth here. Now, I'm telling you, like, we're talking about freedom today. Like, having this kind of mindset when it comes to money would set us all free today, all right? Verse 6, in chapter 6, he says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world." Just like, can we just stop there and take a deep breath? Like, when you were born, did you bring anything other than a lot of whining to the table? No, no. And if you've been to a funeral recently, no matter how much that person made in their life, no matter how many empires they built, when that person dies, they may put them in a beautiful casket, maybe a really expensive casket, but they go 6 foot down, just like the person who has no money at all. Incredible truth to just root us in the reality that money makes a cruel master. Because we didn't bring anything in, we're not going to take anything with us. It says, but if you have food and if you have clothing, with these we shall be content. So if you have your necessities, we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Don't you love the scriptures? Sometimes not so much, right? Look at verse 10. For the love of money, for the love of what? Money is a, not the only, but it's a root of all kinds of evil. It is through these cravings that some have wandered away from the faith. The pursuit of money as a master, it's through that that some have wandered away even from their faith in God and have pierced themselves. They brought it on themselves. Many, many pains. Now, this is incredible text when it talks about how do we relate with money. He's like, listen, if you want to make money your master, if you want to look to it for security, if you want to look to it for your identity, for like your hope, then listen, this is what's going to happen. It's, you're going to pursue it, and in that, you're actually going to fall into all kinds of pits, all kinds of temptations, all kinds of ways that it's going to drive you insane. But I want you to see here that money is not the problem. Somebody say amen to that. I got 99 problems and money ain't one of them, right? Money is not the problem. It's how we relate to it that is the problem, right? Now, I say this about money, but let me like give you an analogy of another thing that I think we're all going to get behind. So money is not the problem. Everybody say amen, right? Money's not the problem. Here's all the gifts of God. So if you got kids in the room, that's all right. We love you. You got like half kids in the room. But how many know sex is a good gift from God? Somebody raise your hand. Come on. Hey, we're up in church here now. Don't be too sexy. Yeah, come on. Let's go. This guy in the back, he's like, two hands. Yes, yes. Like, sex is a good gift, isn't it? Like, it's not just for procreation. Do you know that? It's actually for our enjoyment. It actually is a gift from God to humanity for us to enjoy. Some of you are getting really red right now because your pastor's like making eye contact with you. I know, like, I'll just say, I like sex. God made it to us to like sex. Like, it's good, but how many of you know we can take this very good gift, and when it becomes selfish, it becomes really, really evil. Think about how many people are abused through sex, and many people in this room, and my heart breaks, and I hate it. I hate that so many people have experienced harm and pain and traumatic experiences through sex. Now, does it change the fact that sex is a good gift? No, it doesn't. It just goes to show that we can take a good thing from God, and when it's selfish, when it self-promotes, when I'm trying to get what I want, it can be really, really, really painful. Am I preaching good up here tonight, right? Now, the same thing happens with money. It can be an incredible gift from God. But the moment that gift becomes something that I'm gonna get mine, becomes selfish, it can become really, really painful. Not only hurt you, but hurt people around you. I see your heads nodding because you know that. We know this. It's not, money is not the problem. Sex is not the money. It's how we relate to it. It's the love of money. It's where we see it as a master, as our hope. That is the problem. God does not hate money. Somebody again, say amen to that, right? All of us should be saying amen to that. God does not hate money. It's good. Now look, continues on. Paul writes to Timothy, and he's talking about this money thing, and he gets to verse 17. And he begins to speak to people that have means, that have wealth in the congregation or in that community. As for the rich, as for those that have means, maybe have abundance in finances, in this present age, not a future age, but today, that have money today, he said, charge them not to be haughty. Don't be arrogant. Don't think you're better than other people because you have a lot of money. That's a good word for all of us today. If you got a lot of money, don't be arrogant about it. Scripture says, right? It says, don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to what? God actually doesn't mind if we enjoy our money. He wants you to have a great sex life. Wow. You can thank me with that email later, men and women, come on. Sex and money in the same sermon, it's great, it's awesome. Just make sure, never mind. Verse 18. Please look at verse 18. They are to do good. The rich, to do good, to be rich in good works, to be what? Generous, and ready to what? Share. Thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. What's truly life is not having a lot of money. True life, he says, is how we sow into eternity. And so what we see here, there's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. Once again, everybody say amen to that. Like, we're not anti. We're not like, we all got to be poor and broke and then we just got to like get by. No, God is not opposed to you having money. He's not even opposed to you having a lot of money. And I say that because this book right here that we gather around, that we say, Lord, speak to us, this book is filled with men and women who had a lot of money, by the way. Somebody, once again. And you know, a lot of the people that had a lot of money in this book, guess who they attributed their wealth to? God. So God is not opposed to men and women having a lot of means, having abundance when it comes to money. But what God is opposed to is that when we find our hope, security, identity in the thing that he's already given us. See, big difference. God's not opposed to you having money, but he says, man, I don't want the money to be your master where you look for your hope, look for your security, look for your identity. That's why he says, don't put your hope in something that could be washed away. Don't get your identity from the amount of money you got in your bank account, because if you've been around a few rotations of the sun, you know that there's seasons where things go your way and the stock market's great and you get the promotions, and there's also seasons where the stock market, maybe where we're at a little bit right now, isn't so great. And you see that retirement plan that you're looking like so excited every day, and now you don't even want to look at it. Or you had a great job and then for whatever reason, nothing you did, you find out that you don't have a job. You've got a big nest egg saved up, and then something happens to you in your life where you have to draw all of it out and even go into debt. Things happen. And so what Paul says is, don't put your hope, don't allow money to be your master. Keep a perspective of abundance. God alone can only fill that need that you have. Don't look to money for it. And what he says here, and what I love, and this is for all of us, whether you're rich, That's such a moving target. Whether you have money today at any means at all, the encouragement that Paul gives is be generous. Share. Help with people in need. That may mean buying somebody a coffee. It may mean helping cover somebody's rent. That may mean helping a kid through college that's not your own. It could look a lot of different ways, but he says, whatever you have, be willing and ready to share it, because in doing so, you won't fall into the pits of making money your God. And I've said this before, but that which we are willing to give away can't own you. And I would love for you to think about this week. Not right now, you don't have to answer that question, but what is in your life that you're like, man, I would never give this away? If that's the case, and maybe there's some revival things, I'm not sure, but what you know is maybe, just maybe, it's got a spot in your heart that you need to watch out for. Because he says, if you have means, if you have wealth, man, be generous, share, help with those in need. And in doing so, you're not going to have this unhealthy connection to the things that you have. See, our perspective of abundance, it needs to align with God's perspective. And what I love about God, and this is true in every way, that he longs to bless his children. Can we say yes to that? Like, God wants to bless the world. He does, but he wants to bless us in a way that the blessing doesn't actually hurt us from being everything he designed us to be. Or I said it here in this way, that God longs to bless his children as long as the blessing will help them be all that he designed them to be. That's why we read the section of scripture that I love to go back to, because it's like the beginning. It sets the tone for really the arc of the Bible, Genesis 12, where God comes to Abram and says, hey, I want you to move away from the family. Everything you know, I want you to go to a place that I will tell you. And he says, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. There it is. I will bless you. I will make your name great. He'll make your name great. That's what God says to Abram. So that you will be a blessing, I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God wants to bless you. He wants to bless you. So you just need to hear that. I'm not sneezing. Nobody's sneezing up here. He wants to bless you. In every way, he wants to bless you. Even you that feel like, I'm not worthy, I'm ashamed, I'm not good enough. No, he wants to bless you. Why do I say that with confidence as your pastor? Because he says here, he wants the entire earth to be blessed. Every family, guess what? If you are part of a family, which even if you don't know who your family are, you are part of the family of humanity. God says right here that he wants his blessing to flow into you. He wants his blessing to flow into you. But let's look at this, that God's abundance. So how do we see abundance? How do we see blessing? That God's abundance, the purpose of abundance is generosity, not accumulation. Purpose of God blessing, a point out of his abundance for us to receive is, yes, we can enjoy it, but the essence of his blessing is so that it doesn't just end here, but it hits here, causes flourishing, causes us to become who he designed us to be. But then that blessing, as he showers me, the abundance of heaven as it showers me, is then meant to be one that goes. You see, his abundance is meant to flow and not remain stagnant. And we know this, but the lie of the deceiver is keep what you have. Keep as much as you can, gain as much, build as much. Come on, let's go. Get me. Get what I need. Keep everything you need. Get all of it, because you can't really trust God. That's what the deceiver would tell you. And so he says, I want to bless you so that you can be a blessing. Now we have a model for this. His name is Jesus. Perfect model for what it looks like for humanity to live this out. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'm gonna end here today. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. He says this. This whole section is amazing, but I'm just gonna read two verses. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and all times, you may abound in every good work. I totally read the wrong scripture. I'm sorry. It's a good scripture, though. Amen. Say that, right? Yeah. Yeah. Let me give you another one. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians. I wrote it down here wrong. It's in the Bible. Is it on the screen? Thank you. These guys are amazing. I don't know if that's right, but here it is. I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine. He's talking about, I'm not commanding you to give and be generous, but he said, actually, in your giving, it's actually showing that you love them. So we're not going to go into that text. We don't have time today. But look at verse 9. I wanted to end with Jesus here, the author and perfecter of our faith, the one who shows us what it looks like to be a human being perfectly in line with God. It says, for we know, because we partook of the bread and the glass of wine today, that you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, God was rich, Jesus was rich, he was abundantly gifted with everything, all things of all the universe, all authority was his. He was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. He became emptied out. He became in need. Oh, why would he do that? So that you, by his poverty, by Jesus' poverty, by him pouring himself out, might become what? Say it again in church. I know it's weird, but say it again. Rich. Now, it's not a health and wealth prosperity gospel. That rich there does not mean that you're gonna guarantee to have money flying out of your pocket and money dripping from heaven, that you're never gonna have any needs. That's not what that scripture talks about. What it says there is that Jesus had all of abundance, everything he could ever need, he had. Storerooms of heaven. And it says that he emptied himself fully, he poured himself out, so that you and I could receive what he had. Every spiritual blessing. So that you and I could experience what it means to be forgiven. So that you and I could experience what it means to be one with God. That's what he had all the time, one with God. So he, in his riches, poured himself out. He was generous with his abundance so that you and I could receive his abundance. And guess what we're supposed to do with it? Hold it, accumulate? No. You know what we're supposed to do with it? Let it flow. Let it flow, let it flow. Sometimes I do things in the moment. I'm like, that's not gonna work so well. But like if you remember nothing else, let it flow, right? Like this is the beauty of what God does. I wanna bless you to be a blessing. I wanna give you the resources of heaven, the wisdom. I wanna give you the ability to forgive. Do you know our world needs to learn how to forgive? And who they learn it from is from those that have been forgiven. Somebody say amen. Like this is what we need. The world doesn't need a bunch of Christians that are hoarding what we've been given. Whether it's money, whether it's forgiveness, whether it's unity, whether it's grace, whether it's mercy. No, the world needs you and I to be ones that receive nonstop from heaven. No, we have been given everything through Christ. Everything is yours. You lack nothing in the kingdom of God. Do you know that? Everything of life and godliness, you already have. And the purpose for you to have it is not to say, look at me, I'm going to church. I got a good job. I got a fish on my SUV backside, you know. It's not the purpose. The purpose is that I would be a light unto the world, that I would be a conduit of what God has given me so that the world can see the one who gives all things. This is the beauty of following Jesus. He modeled for it perfectly. He says, I was rich, but I became poor so that you can become rich. And so as followers of Jesus, man, to recognize abundance is not just for me to have more and more. Although he may give you a lot, and there's no shame in that. There's no shame in having a lot of money. As long as it doesn't become your hope, as long as it's not your security, as long as you're not willing to give it away. Blesses to bless. And so this week, let it flow. I wasn't planning on that to be my tagline today at the end, but if you don't remember anything, let it flow. So this week, seriously, like, don't just be hearers of the word. You can leave here and say, man, good message, Derek, good truth. That's the Bible. Yeah, that's great. But James says, don't just be hearers, but be what? Doers. And so don't leave here today and just say, man, that was a good message. Don't love money. Yeah. Like, what if this week, like, simple step, be generous with one person this week? Like, encourage somebody with your words. You're like, I got no money. That's all right. You got words. You got affirmation. You got ways to comfort and encourage somebody. If you have some money, maybe you just got a little money. You're like, man, I can't like pay somebody's rent this month, but you know what? I can pay for the person behind me at Powell's. I can go have a conversation with that person that I see every time I drive by the street and they're sitting there, look pretty down. I can just have a conversation and, hey, would you grab lunch with me? And not just give them money, but like start a relationship. Like, listen, this week, don't have the scarcity mindset that you have nothing to give away. If you don't have any money, and I know some of us feel like, man, we got no money. And so that's all right. But how do you give away what God's given you? What he's deposited in here? This week, let's let it flow. Let's be a people that are generous, not just with our money, but with our lives, with our words, with encouragement. Let's be light this week. Who wants to be light this week? Who wants to see our community transformed this week just by little acts of saying yes to be more like Jesus, right? So Lord, I thank you. I thank you. Thank you for the model of Jesus. I thank you for the beautiful picture that Jesus, you were rich and yet you poured yourself out. You became human being. So much so that you died on the cross and that in your poverty that you offered to make us rich, that we could abound in all things of hope and faith and peace and joy. That we could know our identity, that we could walk in freedom from shame, from guilt. Lord, I thank you for all the things that you've made us rich. And so Lord, this week, Lord, I pray that you by your spirit would lead us to see the way that you see, to see opportunities, not to just move on by, but to see people, to see what you're doing, and then to be a generous people. Lord, help us to be a generous people. And may our community recognize that we're not just about our team name, whatever that is, but that we actually want to see our entire community flourish and thrive. So Lord, teach us to walk with an abundant mindset. May we have the humility to say yes to you, to trust you. And may we look like you as we give, as we're generous. May we take this money that we have, whatever amount, and may it serve your purposes. We trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. We have our prayer team coming up here today. If you have any need prayer-wise, maybe today you're like, man, I've got some financial issues today. We would love to pray with you. If you have any other needs, we'd like to pray with you as well. And then let me remind you, the financial hope starts Wednesday. Jennifer and her husband have an amazing gift of communicating. And I would encourage you to sign up if you have any thoughts or want to grow in your finances. We love you guys. Have a great day. Let's be generous. Let it flow. Let it flow.